and you are listening to the Ice Bat Podcast, Battle Club Pro Special Edition, alongside my tag team partner, Jeff Martin. I'm the trendsetter, Brian Berga. What a great interview we have in store for you today, Jeff. Shane Mercer, the Iron Demon, going one-on-one with Kyle the Beast at Battle Club Pro, November 4th, Ridgefield Park, New Jersey. Tickets, for some strange reason, are still available. Guys, you need to catch this. You do not want to miss this card and all matches they have stacked up here as we speak to Shane Mercer here on the High Spot Podcast. But again, also make sure you follow us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast, as well as follow us on iTunes and all social media outlets and platforms we have out there, Jeff. You know, looking forward to this one. What from this do you expect the outcome to be when Shane and Mercer goes one-on-one with Kyle the Beast?
Well, first and foremost, we'd like to thank Mr. Grimm and Gary J for joining us. Those are the previous two episodes. Make sure you listen to those and then hop on and listen to Shane Mercer, the Iron Demon. But yes, what am I expecting? Listen, I was there in person where I saw Kyle the Beast lift literally four guys and just body slam them. And it was ridiculous. This was for a Pro Wrestling Magic event. And man, he left an impression on me. And now when I see Shane Mercer, he also leaves an impression on you. You're talking about two solid guys that are going to go in there. And hopefully Carlos has the ring reinforced, because these are two guys that are just going to give it 100%, knocking it out of the ballpark. And I expect to see a great match and be thoroughly entertained, because all these matches are going to entertain. And I'm excited for November the 4th. And Shane Mercer is an awesome guest. You're going to get to hear his passion on this episode tonight.
So without further ado, guys, this is Shane Mercer on the High Spot Podcast, Battle Club Pro Special Edition, talking about what he has to look forward to November 4th.
All right, Bri, Battle Club Pro Special Edition here. November the 4th, we're going to have Shane Mercer take on Kyle the Beast. It's going to be an amazing matchup in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey. 1 year anniversary for Battle Club Pro. They all fall down. And joining us right now is Shane Mercer himself. Shane, what's going on, man? You have a tough task in taking on the man known, Kyle the Beast.
Oh, definitely do. I've been doing a little bit of tape study recently. I've never personally met the guy ever, but you know, I'm always down for a challenge, and this being a one-year anniversary show, definitely going to be ready for this.
So how's it feel, Battle Club Pro? This is your first time wrestling East Coast. Are your first time with Battle Club Pro? Do you talk about that?
Well, it's actually my second time with Battle Club.
Okay.
I had my first time with Battle Club was the last show.
So
Chase Logan at the last show.
So what brings you back? What the one-year anniversary, a tough test like this, what brings you back to Battle Club Pro?
Well, to be honest, man, I first started on the Wrestler's Lab shows. It came on before the Battle Club show this past May, and I had one show with them. My next show was the Battle Club show against Logan, the last show. And after that, you know, I had my matchup and everything, and all I heard from the fans is a please come back chant, and I've always loved that area. So I think it was about time, especially seeing the cards and names and everybody brought in. It always seems like such an awesome show. It seems like the place to be in that area, especially with the one-year upstart and the things that's already happened in 1 year's time. And there's no telling where it can go in, you know, 5-6 years' time where it'd be at. But I think it's time to travel that area and see what Demon can do in that area.
All right, I've seen Kyle the Beast in person. Very impressive. You know, wrestler, but what does Shane Mercer bring to the table for the people in New Jersey? Because Battle Club Pro is a Bronx based promotion, so it's first time it's going to New Jersey. What do fans in New Jersey, what can they expect from Shane Mercer?
Well, they can. Well, I've always used a tagline for the past, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, maybe even longer. Hell, I don't know. But I've always said no limits, and no limits means many things. But typically, whenever you see I guess they call them in industry nowadays, body guys, they typically think of them as, you know, one genre, power moves, and so on and so forth. But I think with today's times and everything is becoming a lot more complex, it doesn't just stay with that. It's why I like to use the namesake of no limits, because I'm not just stuck with, you know, power moves or whatever, and that being the only forte that I can do. I can fly around the ring. I got a little, you know, technical side of me as well. I mean, I can even get hardcore if it needs to be, but I'll showcase a little bit of it off. But of course, the thing that showcases the most that people like to see is the power-based.
Yeah, Shane, what I always found interesting is you clearly keep yourself in great shape, but when you first start out, when you decide to do this for a living, and, you know, for example, Jeff and I were huge fans of the business, have always been, kind of never grew out of it, and that's why we're kind of doing the show, and we thank you for being on it. What was your first draw to the business in terms of saying to yourself, this is something that I want to do for a living?
Well, it wasn't for the question of when do I want to do it for a living, I guess that would come into, I guess 13, 14 years old, but I fell in love with wrestling at a very young age, at 2 years old. And I always knew it was something I wanted to go into and do, but it evolved, you know, into a more adult-oriented version of the same dream whenever I got older and found out more about the business and what I wanted to do and what I actually wanted to achieve. Of course, always everyone else looked at it as a pipe dream, just looked down upon it, and I should get a quote-unquote real job or whatever. But to me, this was my real job. This is my life, which whenever it comes to me sitting in some factory or doing some 9-to-5, you know, white-collar job versus doing my dream and getting paid for and doing what I love eventually, I mean, hands down, that's no choice there.
Who got you into it? Was it just you came across it, or mom, dad, grandma, grandpa? Who got you into it?
Oh, well, I guess you say about 2.5, 3 years old, and used to be a video vault. I don't know how popular that chain of movie places is around the United States, but in my home, used to be a video vault, this old place. You know, it's long closed down now. But they used to go there and have old WWF Coliseum tapes at the time.
Yes, Coliseum home videos.
My dad took me there and rented a WrestleMania 6 for me. And the first match I seen on the whole show while my dad was watching it was Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan. And I was just captivated from then on out.
It's crazy, right? You know, whether it's either the color in the Warrior and or Hulk Hogan, just these big guys. And it just something just
they're larger than life,
exactly. And you get gravitate towards it. What wrestlers did you gravitate? Was it Ultimate Warrior? Was it Hogan? Like, what wrestlers, you know, growing up, did you were like, wow, I could be like this guy, and wow, I relate myself to this guy.
And how did it evolve too?
Honestly, like I said, the first one that really captivated me was the Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan, both of them, just because, like you said, larger than life figures. I used to watch, you know, He-Man and Power Rangers, all those cartoons growing up and shows. And then this had a little bit of that. I was like, wow, this isn't a show, though, you know, per se. This ain't no TV. This ain't cartoon. This is real life, so to speak. Two guys that carry this energy into something. And even as a child, I could feel that. I could feel, you know, the aura of something they can captivate and bring to the ring like that. I guess you can realize most people nowadays would say that with people like Roman Reigns and John Cena, but this is a total different area. Back then, of course, all of us have in our age, middle 20s, 30s, around there, kind of realize Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Stone Cold, The Rock, you know, those people, those areas is what captivated us as those guys today. But if you're going to pin it down and, I guess, put a few people into it, I would say growing up, the ones that I really clung on to and watched a lot was those two, of course. Undertaker, always loved him ever since first laid eyes on him. And then I grew in watching ECW a lot when I was real young. And loved it, fell in love with it. I remember coming across it like Saturday morning on this local television station, and like it was like 2 o'clock in the morning or something like that. I just remember coming across it, not having any idea about what was going on or what it was, but I just wanted to watch it because it was a different case of wrestling. And Taz and Rob Van Dam really captivated me.
That was insane, right? Like at 2 a.m, you felt like you were watching something like you weren't supposed to, and it was like this rebel organization, and it was just something that was different about it compared to WWE, WCW. It was just kind of like a, you know, just a, not reckless, but it was kind of like a anti what WCW and WWE was, right?
I mean, yeah, definitely. Especially like you said, that feeling of, you know, you're a little kid, it's like you're going to get in trouble for watching some show that has nudity on it or something. Porn or whatever, but this was ECW. I'm not even comparing it to that. Just that same feeling you would get as a kid, like, oh, this is something bad. I shouldn't watch this, but it's wrestling, so I guess it's not bad. But, you know, I ended up being captivated by Rob Van Dam and Taz the most of all of them. But, of course, love seeing Sabu and Bam Bam Bigelow, all of them.
Yeah, I mean, I know one of the things that me and Brian marked out to was the first time we saw Pillman on there. So that was crazy. And we're like, wow, he was in WCW and now he's in ECW. So I think that is something that even to this day, man, almost like 20 years ago, ECW was in existence. And now we still remember it. People still chant ECW, you know. So, yeah, definitely I could see that, you know, especially in the Attitude Era. That was, I think, where most like the attitude is where from WWE was, I think, mostly from ECW. Same thing from WCW is that attitude that ECW had. But talk about, you know, what you bring to the table as far as attitude, as far as, you know, the way, you know, you work your promo skills. What do you think needs to be something that you want to work on in, for the future, or something that you want to be able to improve on?
Well, a lot of promotions I go to, people typically want me to come in and just, you know, do a highlight match with someone. And I've always been kind of in your face, just smash mouth to the point, divulgent on what the Iron Demon is, Shane Mercer as a character. And I feel like really with promos, being able to dive into my character to ask a little bit more questions on why I am the way I am, or put a little bit more of a story on divulgence into that, would be something I would like to look forward to in many promotions going forward.
You have, of course, 2017 is almost coming to a close. What does 2018 signify for the Iron Demon, Shane Mercer? What's in store?
Well, 2017 was kind of just a taste of some of the areas I've got to go to. You know, I've got to go up to the New York area, get around there, you know, Jersey area, Pennsylvania. I've been going out to Colorado, I've been down to Texas, even down to Florida. Got to expand out huge as far as 2017 goes. And I feel like with all the connection I've made in all these areas and some of the doors that's been opened up for me this year, I plan on just kicking them even more wide open in 2018, especially since I don't have to necessarily rebuild these connections. They're already there now. So now I can just take this ball and run straight forward.
We're speaking to Shane Mercer here. Unbelievable. I love your intensity. I love your enthusiasm when you're talking about it, because you say this is something you love to do, and this is something you're getting paid for. So, you know, what better combination there, doing something you love? I myself, I'm not a 9-to-5 guy, but I got to pay the bill somehow, too. What I wanted to get your grasp on, Shane, is you're saying you're making these connections, going out there and basically branding yourself. You're marketing who you are and selling yourself to the promoters out there. Yeah, Jeff and I, we have certain talent on here too, and it just seems like the same question. We don't try to ask the same questions because they get pretty stale and boring, but it always seems to pop up with social media being so powerful the way it is now, and everybody having access to it, getting to follow their favorite celebrities or, you know, wrestlers in this case.
Like he said, he had to go to get tapes back in the day.
Yeah, it's not like tape trading
phone
or going to Blockbuster, the place you mentioned too, seeing Coliseum Home Videos. You can go on YouTube, you can go on any site and see your work there, which we've seen and we admire a lot. Can you talk about your experience with social media, how important it is in terms of in your life of really promoting yourself out there? Because, you know, I talked to Jeff about how it's such a great time to be a wrestling fan because there's so much out there. But I have to imagine it's a great time to be a wrestler in the business, too, because now you have so many more options to get your name out there.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. As far as that goes. I mean, I remember back when I started the business in 2007, very first step foot in the ring and everything. And I remember the changes from then until now, and they're significant even that much. It does make me wonder how going forward the next 10 years, if it's already evolved this much as far as social media and people getting their names out there, just what could happen in the next 10 years. I mean, who knows? It's crazy as far as that goes. But, I mean, when I first started, MySpace was the thing. Facebook was just kind of, it was around, of mm-hmm. course, but it wasn't as big as it is now. It was more of like a college-oriented kind of deal. It wasn't really about people connecting as much as they are now with it. Now it's a huge tool for majority promotions. I mean, anything as far as wrestling association goes to Facebook. And Twitter, of course, is a huge thing now. Instagram, you know, even certain promotions and wrestlers got Snapchats now. So, I mean, it seems like there's a way to follow anybody and everyone in their life. And it's awesome to an extent, because sometimes you will find, you know, the fans that want to take it that much farther and try to find out about the little everyday things that certain people do, almost like in a celebrity-esque way of trying to find out, you know, where they live, where their shoot job is, where they, you know, what their girlfriend is, if they have any kids, what their favorite, you know, almost taking it to an extreme. But it's not always bad, because you can take some of those same extremes and go on the positive route. You can find work from some people that you wouldn't even dream of. Like me and my buddies sometimes will go on social media and just share videos back and forth of just rare matches you wouldn't think you'd ever see. Like, for instance, sharing a video of like Vader and Samoa Joe and Mike Awesome in this tag match in Japan. And we're just like, what? This happened?
Yeah,
awesome.
Right. Where are you from?
I'm from the very center of Kentucky, Lebanon, Kentucky.
All right. So, okay. So obviously, you know, we're talking about, you know, continue the social media thing. It seems like you're very, we're talking about the celebrityness of social media. Seems like you're very private. For somebody like yourself, are you intimidated by, say, coming to New York City or, you know, or those big cities? Or are you more like do you like the country, or are you not overwhelmed by, like, New York City, the Bronx, or, you know, L.A. or places like that?
I wouldn't necessarily say I'm overwhelmed by it. I kind of love it, because I've been in, you know, Kentucky for so long. I've been around these kind of cities and all this stuff, and it's a huge breath of fresh air. Like, some buildings, some culture, instead of seeing all this, you know, usual Kentucky life that you see out here. Which, of course, you know, it ain't all just farmland and stuff like you would think with the idea of what Kentucky is, because Louisville, Lexington, bigger cities and such. But going to New York and Florida, Miami, always it's awesome seeing the different cultures and just seeing how in the United States there's so many different things within our country that's just blended in together, and I love seeing all of it.
What's been one of the favorite cities that you visited to in your chance to travel in wrestling?
Also, I've loved a lot of my New York trips I've came up there to. Always awesome is going to Miami, of course, at the vacation spot, so I can't really complain when wrestling takes me on, you know, work vacation, so to speak.
Can't be South Beach, I'm telling you, man. We went there for took a little retreat once. We went for Mania in Orlando. We had to take a side trip to Miami, South Beach. You can't beat that, dude.
Some side trip there, 4-hour drive from Orlando. And I was driving. I was driving both ways too, Shane. So I felt it every step of the way. So I kind of have an idea in terms of traveling that you guys go through.
But the ladies there, my God.
Yeah, Jeff. All cared about was the ladies, though. So, but you were talking about how, you know, going through these places, like for example, New York, Florida, Miami. They're all great experiences, and it's something obviously that takes you out of, you know, your normal everyday life. Not that it's bad, but again, it's nice to go out there and do something different. Talking about experience, though, you know, something that I've always admired about the business and admire what you do, Shane, is that it's such a huge learning curve. Everybody thinks it's so easy. Oh, I'm going to go out there, I have a good look, I have a good build, a good physique, I'm going to be a star. It's such a huge learning curve that people, I think, fail to understand. I mean, if seeing from the fans' perspective, I guess they could see it that way. But as you get older, you realize how much appreciation you have for it. Can you elaborate more in terms of the learning curve? You just mentioned in 2007 you started. We're in 2017 now, 10 years down the road. How much of it have you learned? And I know you kind of, you elaborate on it before, but in terms of moving on and looking at, for example, noticing your weaknesses and your strengths and working on your weaknesses to make them strengths, what do you feel right now you're working on to get yourself to that next level in your mind that you want to get to?
Like I was kind of saying at the beginning of the conversation we talked off with, I feel like one of the things I'm learning and still adapting to right now is trying to get people to connect with me on a normal basis. A lot of the people that people kind of admire and fall in love with is either they're either a superhero beyond level that they just look up to in any way, or it's somebody that they feel that could be next to them in the audience that they can kind of relate to in some way or another. It's usually one of the two. And I want to try to be able to bring both to the table in a way so those people that can't look up to me in a superhero-esque light can relate to me in some day-to-day fashion to know that, hey, I wasn't just built like this overnight, or, hey, I didn't just all of a sudden come into wrestling and know how to do all these moves, or, you know, so on and so forth. I want to be able to tell the story with my character of who I am and what I do about how I got there. That way people can be a little bit more relatable and look at me and maybe be like, okay, maybe I can do that too if I push and persist and do this and so on and so forth.
What's the one thing that you love about wrestling right now today, and one thing you kind of are not a fan of that you, I wouldn't say you dislike or hate, but you're not a fan of?
Well, I mean, honestly, I love the day how wrestling's booming. I just love how everywhere, it seems like there's a style and a you know, brand for everyone, no matter where you go. You know, you go from Chikara to CCW to Ring of Honor to PWG, you know, all of the above. You have a certain style, it seems like, it's for everyone out there. It don't matter if it's comedy, hardcore death matches, and straightforward wrestling spots, whatever you're into, there's a tradition or some type of culture of wrestling out there that people can fall into and fall in love with. As far as something I don't like, I feel like wrestling nowadays, because of social media, is a little bit related to it and how much people know. Because I hate how a lot of the stories and stuff of wrestling gets ruined because of, I guess you could say, spoilers, but because of the inside of how much a fan knows nowadays takes away from the value of what could be something amazing, because you could hear about a comeback or a certain person winning a match or whatever, but most of the time, 9 times out of 10, the fans already know about what's going to go on before it does, just because of how much information is leaked. And it's almost, well, I might as well say it's become acceptable in today's society for that to happen. But I feel like it's put a damper on the product overall about how much people want to see it. Because a lot of times people get caught up in more about what's happening behind the scenes, or who's hooking up with who, or who's on drugs, or, you know, whatever, rather than the actual art that they came there to fall in love with to begin with.
You know what I miss, Shane? I miss being able to watch the match and just watch it and enjoy it and not wonder, like, oh, man, this guy should have gotten over. Oh, it doesn't make sense in the storyline-wise. How is this guy going to, you know, advance in a future matchup if he loses here today? Or if you're like, oh, this doesn't work. So does like, the smart mark, does that kind of bother you in an aspect of wrestling today?
As far as, like, the spoilerness of it and taking away from the product itself, it does in an extent just because of that in itself, but I can appreciate a smart mark for an extent of how they can, like, they can look at what we do and they can understand it a little bit better than, say, a normal fan's level, because they can know all the hardship and what we go through and the pain and endeavors. But on the same side of that coin, you also have it where they kind of are a critic to everything that goes on and want to be an armchair booker. You see it every day on social media.
Yeah, everybody's a booker nowadays.
50-50 there.
Yeah, everybody's a booker nowadays, Shane, right? Everybody thinks they can do it. I could do it better if I put this guy and this guy together. Everybody feels they can handle it and do it when it's not obviously that easy. Like I mentioned before, it's a huge learning curve, and people might get the misconception because they think they know, but they really don't. But what I appreciate the most about Shane is you're right. Sometimes it does spoil it for the mere fact that, you know, I've spoken with Jeff, that you do know what the outcome is going to be. You know what direction they're going in. But to me, what's the most exciting thing now as I've gotten older is to appreciate the fact, okay, we know who's going to win. Shane is going to lose, or Shane's going to win. But how do you get there? And to me, that's what you're talking about before, about the artistry. How do you get to that point? Although I know it's going to happen, I want to see how it works itself out. Kind of like a movie. You kind of know who's going to die at the end, but you're waiting for the anticipation of what's going to happen. So to me, I kind of related to that. And that's why Jeff and I have such a great appreciation for what you do. But, you know, you were talking about, you know, we talked about social media, how important it was. And you were just mentioning all the other places out there in terms of working. I think right now, more than anything, it's such a great time for wrestling fans, I feel, because before there wasn't much competition out there. You mean you had WCW, WWE, Attitude Era, Monday Night Wars. Now there's so much out there. You mentioned Ring of Honor, New Japan, all these other promotions out there. Do you feel right now, where you are currently, it's the best time to be in the business? Or for somebody who's a young and up-and-comer and wants to be in the business, it's the best time, because the ultimate goal is most likely probably for everybody, maybe yourself, WWE, but there's just so much out there now where people like yourself can hone the craft that you admire so much to get to that next level?
I'd say it's a little bit of both, because, like, for me, for instance, I've already been in 10 years, so I kind of have a tenure a little bit to fall back on and rely on that, but then on the same side, you're going to have the same people looking at it and being like, oh, well, here's these new guys just now starting, we can groom them and push them to the moon and do this and do that with them and be able to teach them this way. It's kind of like most veterans you'll see nowadays want to kind of take a rookie, for instance, a greenhorn, and kind of take them under their wing so that way they can lay claim to everything that they do from then on forward. So say, for instance, I started training some greenhorn that just now started the business, and then he accomplished winning the Ring of Honor title, CZW title, he got signed to WWE, he's in NXT, won that belt. In a way, it would be like me being like, oh, well, I kind of accomplished that for him because I trained him. I've seen a lot of that nowadays as far as that stuff goes. So it's kind of a little bit of both there. It's not necessarily bad, but you'll see a lot of trainers who want to do that rather than kind of in the old school way of extending their neck out and just trying to take around people to see who actually wants it, who has it in their blood, rather than just wanting to test themselves and come into business just for fun, so to speak.
We're talking to the Iron Demon, Shane Mercer, who on November the 4th will take on Kyle the Beast, Ridgefield Park, New Jersey, Battle Club Pro. They All Fall Down, 1-year anniversary show, and he, you know, joins us right now. I want to play a little word association. Not going to take too much more of your time. Maybe like one, two, three names, maybe. I want to ask you, I'll give you the name, and you just give me one or two, you know, word answer. Start with AJ Styles.
Best.
Let's go Eddie Guerrero.
Sad.
Kenny Omega.
Amazing.
Brian, would you like to partake in this game?
Oh, wow. I mean, you took some of the best people out there, Jeff. I don't know what else to say. Roman Reigns.
Internal fight.
John Cena.
Underrated.
That's true. Yeah, I would say underrated.
Well, pal, how about Vince McMahon?
Boss.
I thought you said balls, because he does have balls the size of grapefruits as well. So,
I guess that could work too, though.
Yeah, it works both ways.
And one last one for me. Let's say Chris Benoit.
Tragedy.
Shane, we appreciate your time here. We can't wait to see what you do on November 4th. One more thing for me, I have to ask. Listen, you might even know the answer to this already before you even answer the question, but if, say, you couldn't be a wrestler, say it wasn't in the cards, do you think you'd still be in the business in some way or some form?
Oh, definitely. I love it too much and I have nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
Talk about passion, Jeff. Shane Mercer has that passion.
I mean, listen, everyone we've interviewed so far has that passion, has that drive. We're all pulling for you. It's going to be an honor for us to get to meet you November the 4th. So we'll definitely be looking out for you, and we'll definitely have our eyes set on this match between you and Kyle the Beast. It's going to be a potential for a show stealer. And, really an honor to talk to you, Shane. Thanks for giving us a few minutes.
Thank you for having me, and I appreciate it.
Shane, where can people follow you in order to find what's next up and coming for you as the months and year progresses?
You can find me on Instagram at Shane Mercer. You can follow me on Twitter at The Iron Demon. And you can find me on Facebook under Shane Mercer as well. Or if you want to follow me on Snapchat at XCF Diablo.
All right, Shane, listen, we'll be on the lookout for you November the 4th. All right, man, be good, and we'll see you in just a few weeks.
Take it easy, y'all. See you soon.
Take care. That was the Iron Demon, Shane Mercer. Man, lots to talk about here, man. He is very insightful. You can tell his passion for the business. You can tell the passion for every guy that we have on here, and I think that's the main thing. I think Carlos looks for guys that are passionate and want to leave an impression, and I think that he's got a bright future, too. All these guys, in some form, one way or another, are going to leave their impression, their mark on this business for years to come.
Well, again, I think it just solidifies the fact that November 4th is going to be a pretty historic night, the one-year anniversary of Battle Club Pro in the New York metropolitan area here with first-time matches that we've never seen before, and what a great job in building up this card. But you're right. I mean, we can go through all the adjectives there, an impression, passion. I think ultimately respect, hunger, drive, it's all there. And I think if you're a fan of Battle Club Pro or you don't know Battle Club Pro that well, I mean, take the opportunity, take the shot right there, because every single time we've had an interview on the show speaking about the event on November 4th in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey, they've all come with the same adage that, you know, you're going there to see an event you're most likely not going to forget pretty soon. And if it's anything like you and I, Jeff, we like to spend our money wisely and get what we paid for. I have a feeling we're all going to get what we paid for when we go into November 4th in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey.
You are definitely going to get your money's worth, and I'm telling you, man, these interviews just got me even more excited, more hyped, and that's what we're trying to do for you guys. Hype this event for you as much as we can. Carlos is doing a great job. Battle Club Pro, November the 4th, Ridgefield Park, New Jersey. They all fall down. Get your tickets at battleclubpro.com. as well as Instagram, XBattleClubPro, as well as Twitter. Reach out to them and say that you want to be a part of it, and I'm sure tickets will be available. They're red hot, and you better get them now before they go. Don't wait till November the 3rd. Don't wait and say, hey, I'm going to be able to get there at the door, because Carlos has made a promise. He wants to turn people away. That's what he wants to do. So we are going to help him do that. Looking forward so much for this great event. I am Jeff Martin alongside the trendsetter, Brian Berger. You've been listening to the High Spot Podcast, Battle Club Pro Edition. Continued updates on the Facebook page. We've got so much in store for you and for the Jersey Wrecking Crew. We will see you next time.